Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. For those of you that are guests with us, I've been actually going back into the files of our founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who was an evangelist, and been reading his sermons. And then out of those sermons, I've been choosing messages that I have preached on the last, this is the fourth one, the last four Thursdays. This will be the last one, I think, that I'll do this semester. But it's been a personal benefit for me to read them and to see his thinking and to recognize that there's such an alignment with his thinking. And then I just take his basic ideas and preach those. And so this morning, I'd like to bring a sermon that he brought on the 17th of December, 1943. That was right in the middle of World War II. And as I went back and I read up a little bit on 1943, I mean, basically people like, you know, only certain wealthy people were getting televisions in those days. And there were just advancements that were taking place at that point that were propelling us forward into the 21st century. But it was definitely a different day, and yet the message was so apropos. And so I'd like to bring to you from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, his sermon entitled, Love Not the World. Let's read together. I'll read out loud as you follow along with me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is what we call 1 John. It's a letter written by the Apostle John. And the main basically key word in 1 John is the word little ones or little children or born ones. The idea of 1 John is that it was written to those who've experienced the new birth. They have been born the second time. Perhaps you've heard the statement, if you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. It's the new birth. He's writing to people that are Christians. And he's talking, if you could say it this way, to the children of God. And because John wrote this as an older man, he was John the Elder, he was writing it from a fatherly standpoint. There was a warmth in the tone of his writing. And basically, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it's like he's sitting down in the family circle and he's looking at the children, but he gives them a warning. And here is the warning. The warning is, don't love the world. The greatest problem in the church in John's day and the greatest problem in the church today is still the problem of worldliness. And let me be very clear and say that worldliness is a church problem. It is a problem that is unique only to the people of God. You say, why? Because the world can't be worldly because that's what they are. It's like saying to a dog, don't be a dog. Well, what else can he be? So when we talk about the world can only be what it is. But for a Christian to be worldly is to be contrary to who you actually are. It's being something that you are not. For example, Jesus said in John 17:16 about his disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. If you are born again, if you are in the kingdom of God, then you are taken out of a kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. You are no longer a part of the world. And this is really important. Because when we try to understand what it means to be worldly, you ever heard somebody say he's worldly? You've heard that. So, what's the standard of measurement of what's worldly? Well, the answer is, it's the world. It's the current corrupt culture. In other words, let me say it this way. Christians don't decide what is worldly. The world decides for us. They let us know who they are. And by the way, they are not ashamed to tell us who that what is worldly because it's what they value and it's what they live for. The world shouts at us. Let me put it this way. If you can't figure out what's worldly, it's because you're deaf and it's because you're blind. God's people, for whatever reason, seem to be uniquely dumb in the area of worldliness because so many Christians are worldly. And for whatever reason, they don't seem to see it. What did Jesus say to the church of Laodicea? Very interesting. He says, because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Do you know what? You can be in a bad situation and you don't even see it. You can be in a bad condition and not even see it. Worldliness is the problem of the church. So let me be practical. We have a big problem with worldliness at Bob Jones. We have a problem with many Christians here who have not really figured out that they're actually worldly. So why is it such a problem for the church? And the reason is because we as Christians were actually delivered from the world. Let me give you the illustration from the Bible. And that is, it's the children of Israel who were in the land of Egypt, and they were rescued by Moses, their deliverer, and they were brought out. They were slaves. They were living under a despotic king. They were suffering daily, and yet they were gloriously delivered. They were brought across the Red Sea. God destroyed the army of Pharaoh. God brought them into the land of Canaan, and he set them free, and he blessed them, and he redeemed them from bondage. And yet, when you read the story of the Jewish people coming out of the land of Egypt, what did they often want to do? What do they want to do? They wanted to go back to Egypt. And this is, and you think, why in the world would you want to go back to Egypt when here you are, you've been set free? And the reason is because they had certain cravings. There were things in Egypt they enjoyed so that when they came out of the land of Egypt, they left those things behind. And it's those cravings they wanted to go back to. And so the children of Israel struggled with wanting to go back to Egypt. And this is precisely what the Bible is speaking about, being worldly. It's being delivered from the world and yet wanting to go back into the world. Why? Because of natural cravings. And it is a problem with the people of God, and only Christians can be worldly. We are delivered from the world. We are brought into the church. By the way, what does the word church mean? It means those who are called out. We've been called out of what? Called out of the world. So we are living in this world, and we are to be witnesses in this world. And there are many things in this world that we can enjoy, but we are not to become worldly. So what does that mean? What does he mean when he says, love not the world? Well, let me just say a couple things. First of all, John is not speaking about the physical world. God made the physical world, and we love it naturally. When God created the world and God completed the world, it was in a perfect state and it was good. However, the devil wrecked it. The devil didn't make the world, but to an extent, he destroyed it. Adam fell into the sin and the world became a place of chaos, waste, and desolation. And when you read what the world's going to be like under the millennial kingdom, it's quite different than from what it is today. When we look at the earth today, we see the curse of sin on it. Roses have thorns. Every chord of nature is in a minor key. The wind sighs, the sea moans, the curse of sin is on creation. Paul says that all creation groans and travails in pain, waiting for deliverance. But in spite of this condition, there are still signs of original beauty. Flowers still bloom in the spring. Flowing streams still tumble down mountainsides. We naturally love nature. We love the country. I like what the old preacher said. He said, man made the city and God made the country, and you sure can tell the difference between the two. We love the lakes. We love the hills. We love the valleys. We love the birds. We love the created world, even with a curse on it. So what does it mean to be worldly? It doesn't mean to love the physical world. Secondly, it doesn't mean that we don't love our fellow man. When we love the world, when the Bible says there's something wrong, it's not speaking about loving people. John 3:16 basically clears that up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We should love all people. We should love our enemies. We should love them in our heart. And we should be able to do it by the grace of God. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, Jesus put his arms around the whole human race of mankind and locked his nail-pierced hands on the other side and hugged everybody. This is the one I represent. There's no place, there's no room for any kind of a racial prejudice against people because they're created by God and we're to love people. Now, that doesn't mean that we respect everybody. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I could love people and not trust everybody. Years ago, I took my family to the wilds of the Rockies. It was a Christian camp up in the Colorado Mountains. And so I took my whole family out there for a week, and it was a great week. They had a beautiful lake. One day I took my kids out fishing, and we caught a huge fish. Man, when you're a little kid and you catch a big fish, I mean, it's a momentous time in life. We caught this huge fish and brought it back in and cleaned it, and the camp cooked it up, and my kids were so excited because that's what we were going to eat for supper that night. And so they brought the fish out for us to eat. Well, we were sitting at a very large round table that sat about 10 people, and there were six in my family. So a man sat down at our table, and he looked at the fish, and his eyes got really big, and he got really excited, and he started eating it. He never asked if we could have some, if he could have some. And as my wife says, and this, quoting my wife, the terrible man ate a huge portion of the fish. My kids were so mad. Did I admire that man? No, he was a pig. Did I respect the man? No. However, am I supposed to love the man? Yes. I shouldn't hate him even though he's a pig. Now, we're supposed to love people. I have people that I've known for years where I don't particularly want to be with them. I know certain people who feel like it's their business to correct me. Every time I get around them, they're wanting to either correct me or tell me what's wrong with something else, especially Bob Jones University. And in some cases, I don't respect these people because they don't have enough good sense to see their own inconsistencies. They can't smell their own bad breath. But I do love them, and I do count them as a friend, and I do treat them with kindness, and I do treat them with respect, and I would help them if they need it. I'm still to love them. We are to love people. We can love the world that God created. So what does it mean to not love the world? John is telling us here not to do something that I'm more tempted to do than anything else in the world. He is telling us not to love, and the word for world is the word cosmos, which means the organized systems of the world. Let me put it this way. The world creates its own worlds. People are creators. People are inventors. People make things. They create their own worlds. We are living in an unbelievable world. We are living in an incredible age. We are living in a time of phenomenal achievements and discoveries. For example, there's the world of music. Music is created, and it creates its own world. And now with technology, you put the two together, and you got all kinds of things. So here we are living in a day and age where you have this thing called Spotify. Pay X amount of dollars, and you can get any kind of music at any time of the day and anywhere in the world. Man, I lived back in the days where they had record players. And then they went to cassettes. And cassettes had these tape things, and you stuck them in, and you had to push a button to try to find the song. Folks, we're not talking about post-Civil War. Okay, we're talking just a few years ago, and then CDs came out. And there's the world of music. There's the world of technology. There's the world of art. There's the world of literature. There's the world of science. There's the world of sports. There's the world of finance. There's the world of politics, of business, of entertainment. There's the world of religion. Every world is a world of its own. And all of us have certain elements of the world that we like, we enjoy, that we're a part of. So some of you are a part of the world of sports, and some of you are part of the world of fine arts, and some of you are part of the world of finances, or maybe you're a part of the world of technology, and you live in your own world. You ever met people that live in their own world? So there are certain worlds I like. I like the world of soccer. So I follow soccer carefully, and I read Bleacher Report every day, and I want to find out how Manchester United's doing, and I read all the reports, and I find out how they're doing and whether or not they're going to be in the Champions League, and we'll find out tomorrow who they're going to play. I like the world of mandolins. I have 5 mandolins that I own. I understand instruments. I know the most expensive mandolins. I know the El Cheapo mandolins. I know who the great mandolin players. I know the big names. I know when they have festivals. I even have a direct link to the most important website for mandolin people. Do you know what that is? Mandolin Cafe. Where have you been? Everything has its own world. And as we understand, it can be all-consuming, it can be all-controlling, it can be all-captivating. And here's what John is saying. He is saying that your heavenly Father says, don't love it. Don't love it. He didn't say it was wrong. He didn't say it was sinful. He said, don't love it. He said, don't love the world of music. Don't love the world of sports. Don't love the world of technology. Instead, love your heavenly Father. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say, well, wait a minute. That's a little confusing. It seems to be black and white. Either you love God or you love the world, but you can't do both. So let me explain what I think that means. I think that your love for God should be so great that everything else appears to be hatred. And we know that that's the way the Bible often presents things. For example, Jesus said in Luke 14:26, if you don't hate your father, your mother, and brother, then you cannot be my disciple. I remember reading that first time. I'm supposed to hate my mom and dad and my siblings? Well, there's some days I feel that way, but that doesn't sound right. What he's saying is a term of comparison. Your love for God should be so great that when you compare it to your love for the parents, it seems like there's hatred there. And what he's saying is that the world of sports and the world of music and the world of technology, I mean, the fact is, if you're having an educational institution, you're all being educated in some aspect of the world. So it's not wrong to, in the sense, enjoy and be a part of those things, but those things are never to take preeminence in your life. You are to love your heavenly Father. So why is it that we're not to love the world? And there are 2 reasons he gives. Number one, we're not to love the world because it's built on the wrong foundation. What is the world? The world is the organized systems that are built and founded by unredeemed people that are driven by their sinful impulses. So when he says, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for if any man love the world, for what is in the world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those 3 things. What are those? Sinful impulses. Lust of the flesh, that's the desire for pleasure. Lust of the eyes, that's the desire for possessions. Pride of life, that's the desire for position. Pleasures, possessions, positions, okay? That's the world. That's the sinful impulses of unsaved people. And they create their own worlds. They create their own systems. And they live out these desires through these systems. And the reason we're not to love the world is because it is built on the wrong kind of motivations. I mean, think about it. When the devil tempted Eve, what did he use? He took something that is good, something that is created, but God had forbidden them to eat of the tree, and he tempted them to disobey God. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, in desire to make one wise, the pride of life, she disobeyed and she sinned. When Adam fell into sin, he then became controlled by these sinful impulses. We call that sin nature or original sin. So the world, that is unredeemed humanity, has developed these worlds, these systems that are controlled by and become the tool for the manifestation of man's fallen sinful impulses. Bob Jones Sr. said it this way, the whole organized world is built on paradise lost. So, we go through the New Testament, and Paul talks about this. In Ephesians 2, Paul says, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. And we sought to fulfill the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." What he's simply saying is this: we are dead in sin. We are energized by Satan to live for this current world. We are driven by the desires of our own depraved nature, and we are consumed with fulfilling the desires of our body and mind. We live for this world. Peter said the same thing when he writes in 2 Peter 1, and he says, "God by his power has made us new people." And he says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He said, through the new birth, through the new life, through the new heart, the power of God has come into your life. And through that, you have escaped. You have been delivered from the bondage of the corruption of your sinful nature. The world is consumed with satisfying the desires of their own flesh. And so therefore, he says, as a Christian, when we are living on those sinful impulses for the things of this world, then we are being worldly. And Paul warned us. He said, don't be controlled by the world. Don't be conformed to this world. One of the greatest concerns that I have of our graduates here, and I think this has really heightened over the last 5 years since I've been here, is because I've watched in the last 5 years about 2,400 people graduate from Bob Jones in the last 4 years. So this year it'll get close up to about 3,000. And I want you to know that I look at you not just as a student, but I look at you, I look at you with pastoral eyes because I love you and I want to see you do well. And I think with the emphasis of our school on excellence and education and jobs and professionalism and all those kind of things, and I think all those things are good, but there's a problem with all of that. Because you're going to go out in the world and you're going to work. And I think probably the most disheartening thing is to see graduates go out into the world and suddenly they're worldly. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you go out in the world is going to pressure you to become like them. Is it wrong to be in business? No. But you're going to go out in the world and they're going to pressure you to conform to their lifestyle, their sinful impulses. Is it wrong to be a musician? No. You're going to go out in the world. It doesn't matter what. You can go in the classical world of music. And you're not there very long to find out that your lifestyle and their lifestyle are totally opposite. I don't think there's anything wrong with the world of sports. But there are always pressures to conform to those sinful impulses. And when you graduate and you go out into the world, you have got to set your priorities. You've got to make a decision whether or not you're going to live for God and love Him. You need to decide, am I going to read my Bible? Am I going to be part of a local church? Am I going to have convictions? Or am I going to float? If you're a floater now, you're going to be a floater out there. And the biggest concern I have is not whether or not you're going to get a job or not whether or not you're going to go out and make a living. My biggest concern is, are you going to be worldly? Because when Christians become worldly, they lose their testimony. They lose the effectiveness of the gospel in their life because instead of being light, you basically begin to dim your light. So he says, don't love the world because the world is built on the wrong foundation. When I came here to be the president, we had had sports here at Bob Jones for a couple of years, and I had a lot of graduates very upset that Bob Jones has sports because that's worldly. Well, let me tell you something. If we have plays, that's worldly. And if we make movies, that's worldly. And if we're sending you into the accounting world, if we're sending you in the business world, that's worldly. And if we're sending you in the computer world, come on, man, that's like worldly. I said, none of those things in and of themselves, a Christian would become worldly unless he's controlled by the sinful impulses of his own nature. And so therefore, as a Christian, I have to choose to love God first, walk in obedience to His will, and then do what I do ultimately for His glory. You see, what we're doing here is we're learning to put God first. And so he says the world is going, he says the world is built on a wrong foundation and the world's going to pass away. The world that you see that we're in today, it's not going to last. Everything on this campus one day is going to be gone. It's all going to be burning up. I remember when this really hit me in college, I realized everything I was going to do in my life one day is all going to burn up. So I better figure out what's eternal and live for that. And that's what he is saying. Live for that which is going to last forever. Can I play basketball and not be worldly? Of course. Can I do? Yes. But my drive and my motives and my goal is not for my own selfish impulses, but is for the glory and the honor and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is the way you avoid being worldly. May God help us to do what John said, to not love the world. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great weekend.